I'm excited tonight. Let me tell you, I've got fire in my bones and I've got a shaking in my spirit. Upon me, I feel the presence of God tonight. I have tonight on me the mantle of my Father. And tonight I'm going to preach. Amen. And tonight we're going to prophesy. Amen. Tonight you're going to prophesy with me. Amen. This church is the best. You are the best. Who could feel the presence of God? Still feel the presence of God. I mean, I love His presence. I'm in love with His presence. His presence excites me. Say with me, the call of God. The call of God. By the waving of your hand, who can tell me, do you believe that you are called of God? Amen. So every person sitting here, you believe that you are called of God. Over the past 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit have truly come into my situations that I was facing and brought a powerful word into my heart. You know, about two or three weeks ago, driving back from School of Discipleship, I was alone in the car, just speaking to God. And all of a sudden, His presence came into my car. Filling, I mean, the atmosphere was electrified. You could almost touch it. And I love it when He does that. I love it when He does that. And I was dealing with certain stuff in my mind, and I was just speaking to God, and He came and He said, and He asked me a question, and I answered the question. I'm going to get into that later on. And He dropped something into my spirit that is really powerful, and I hope that you guys are going to get it tonight. So the Holy Spirit, over the past 2 or 3 weeks, He started to activate and reveal with me in this word, and that is the power that His word carries when we speak it by faith. The power that His word carries when we speak it by faith. Amen. Now, I've asked everyone, do you believe that you are called of God? And everyone said yes. Amen. Many times I've said, standing from the pulpit preaching, saying that you have to know the word of God. The importance of knowing the word of God. That you need to speak the word of God. I need a bit more volume. You need to speak the word of God. And you see, the problem is many people speak the word of God, but not with conviction. Not with persuasion. There's still a lot of doubts. It's easy to say, okay, I'm going to proclaim the word of God. I'm going to start speaking the word of God. But do you truly believe the words that you speak? The key is in doing it by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that, but faith, it is impossible to please Him without faith. For those who cometh to God need to believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you seek Him day in and day out? Are you in prayer day in and day out? Is His words on your lips day in and day out? You see, it's because the more time that you spend with God in His presence, the more like Him you will start to speak. The moment that He started to speak to me in that car, not so much of what He told me, but the fact that He spoke to me broke every bondage, every lie, every deception suggestion of Satan. In one instance, like this. But you cannot have it if you do not diligently seek Him. If there's one thing that I want to accomplish tonight, it is to remind you of the call of God that is on your life. It is to remind you that it is not over, that it is not done. It is to remind you of every promise, of every prophecy that have ever been spoken out of your life. It is to reconnect you with the Word of God. It is to reconnect you. A holy hunger to be stirred up. Amen. It is time that we realize that the same power and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that same power and Spirit dwells within you and I. Meaning that He has found habitation within you and I. Meaning that He has found a place of residence within you and I. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what you have within? I want to remind you tonight. You see, over the past few weeks, I've come to a place over the past few months by dealing with quite a few people. I've come to a place where I've realized that many have become limited by the reality of the many promises that they have been given. 7,000 promises throughout Scripture alone. 7,000 promises throughout Scripture alone. Do you know your word? However these promises came to you, whether it was while you were spending time in prayer, in the Word of God, listening to a message, in a vision, in a dream, however His word came to you, many people find themselves in a place, they've come to a place where they feel that it's over, that they've lost the call of God in their lives, that they've lost the anointing because of certain circumstances and situations that is surrounding you. And these circumstances are contrary to the Word of God. It is in contradiction to the Word of God. And many come to a place where they feel that it's kind of over. Amen? Come on, we all deal with these things. We feel that it's over. Sorry? I want to tell you tonight that it's not over. That it is not over. I just want to watch the time. That it's not over. I want to go into a story. And I don't have time to go into much detail in the story. And this is the story of Hagar and Ishmael. Now, the people that were in the E-group past Wednesday, I've touched on this. So, this will not be new to you. But please listen because I'm going to go in deeper. Hagar and Ishmael. Now, if you don't know the story, Ishmael was Hagar's son. And Sarah, Abram's wife, wasn't too happy with him. And she told Abram, listen, send them away. Okay? And so, what Abram wasn't too happy about this. He was upset about this and he spoke to God and God said this. He said, don't be upset, Abraham, for I will make the boy into a great nation. Amen? For I will make the boy into a great nation. So right there, the word of God was established. What happened was before Abraham sent him away, he prayed for the boy, he blessed him. In other words, he gave voice to the word of God and right there and then, His word was established. Amen. He gave them a little water, a little bit of food, and he sent them away. Now you can imagine what that must have been like. Into the wilderness, into the desert. I mean, there's nothing. He gave them a bottle of water. And said, there you go. Now I want to look at the story of Hagar and Ishmael tonight. And the promise that she had with her that carried a voice. The destiny that she had with her that carried a voice. I need you guys to hear this. That carried a voice. What happened was, when the water was up and the food was up, she found herself in a very dry place where it was the end of it. The end of it. And what she did was, she distanced herself from the promise. From the boy. As far as that you could shoot an arrow. Because she did not want to see him die. Do not distance yourself from the promise of God on your life. Never run away from the call of God that is upon your life. Never distance yourself from the promise, from the destiny that is locked up within you. And what happened was, this woman sat down and she started to cry. But now note that God did not respond to her crying. He did not respond to her crying. An angel of the Lord appeared unto her and said, arise, arise. He didn't step in and say, oh, please, Hagar, don't accept this circumstance. Oh, please, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Please do something. No, he said, arise and act. Do something. Amen? And what he said was, and he said that, for the Lord God, I've heard the cry of the boy. You see, God responded to the voice that was locked up in the destiny. God responded to the voice that was locked up in the promise. Each and every person is standing here under the sound of my voice. The call of God is upon your life. And within that call, there is a voice locked up that needs to be activated so that that promise can be made manifest. Amen? We need to act. There's an action that needs to be taken from our side for that promise to be made manifest. And God said, lift up the child and take Him in your hands. It is time that we take our promises in our hands. It is time that you take the call of God serious. Take it in your hands and lift it up before God again. Remind Him. Bring it up as a memorial. He says in His word, remind me of my word. Bring my word before me as a memorial. I'm not speaking arrogantly, but you get on your knees and you say, Lord God, I remind you tonight of every word that you've given me. I remind you tonight. Do not pass me by. Amen. And the moment she acted, what happened? She could see that provision was made for her. She regained spiritual sight, perception, perspective. There was breakthrough. There was life. There was sustaining power. Amen? You guys still with me? Is this okay? See, there's many sitting here tonight. You've received prophecies from God. You've received word from God. And these... But there's circumstances in your life that is contrary to what God has said, causing doubts to come into your mind, into your hearts. I want to tell you tonight, that it is the very circumstances that you are facing that is speaking contrary to the word of God in your life that validates the very word that was spoken in the first place. Amen? It validates the very word that was spoken in the first place. Never doubt the word of God. Never doubt the word of God. The devil wants you to doubt whatever was spoken out of your life because he knows, we know so well, that if you stand up and you start to take a hold of what God has said, it took one man to decide and say, listen, God has spoken. I trust in His word. I'm going to proclaim it, I'm going to live it, and I'm going to make it happen. That made all this possible. It is not your circumstances that validate you, but the Word of God. It is not your circumstances that validate you, but the voice of God. It is not your circumstances that validate you, but the call of God that is upon your life. Let it be His word that contradicts the circumstances that you are facing. Amen. May I cause you to remember tonight. May I cause you to remember tonight. You see, there's many here that remember what it was like. They remember their first love. They remember what it was like being touched by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remembering what it was like being woken up 3 a.m. in the morning. And His presence comes into your room. And it's the Holy Spirit sitting next to you. And He's speaking to you. And it is tears running down your face. Streaming down your face as you are broken before God. Do you remember? Do you remember the fellowship of the Spirit? Do you remember what it was like driving in your car? And all of a sudden His presence comes in and saturates the atmosphere and your joy is being filled with His glory. Do you remember? Many standing here, sitting here, have been robbed of their joy by the deceptions and the lies and suggestions of Satan. I want to tell you tonight, and I've heard this countless of times, how people would come to me and they would say the following words, I feel lost. I feel that I've lost the call of God. I feel that it's over. I feel that I've lost the anointing. I feel condemned. I feel. Let me tell you tonight that God is spirit. You are body, soul, and spirit. And that it's deep calling on to deep. And that you cannot go by what you feel. You have to go by what you have heard. You have to go by the voice of God. You have to go by the word of God. You cannot be driven by your emotions. You cannot be driven by your feeling. Amen. Genesis 27, verse 21 to 23. And Isaac said unto Abraham, Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, my son, that I might touch thee, that I might feel thee, whether thou be my very son, Esau, or not. Listen to this. Come near, that I may feel thee, whether thou be my very son, Esau, or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and he said the following words. And he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau, my son. And he discerned him not, because his hands was hairier as his brother's Esau's hands, and he blessed him. He went by what he felt, and not by what he've known, not by what he've heard, not by the voice. Now we all know that by faith it was ordained by God that Abraham, or that Jacob, should be blessed instead of Esau. That's the way that God planned it. It should have worked out that way. I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about a principle. You cannot go by what you feel. You have got to go by what you know. Amen? Does that make sense? May you start to hear the word of God from tonight. May you see the word of God from a different light, from a different perspective. Whenever there's something rising up in your life that is contrary to the word of God, that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, it's time for you to stand up. And with a loud voice, you shout, but God. Come on. Say, but God. But God. But God. Tonight I want to preach on the resurrection power. Tonight I want to preach on the resurrection power that is within you and I. And the ability and the power that each and every one of you possess to prophesy onto the air and so to bring forth change. Amen. I'm not speaking about the office of a prophet or the gift of prophecy. I'm speaking about the spirit of prophecy. Amen. To prophesy onto the air. And I will be getting into a scripture tonight that we all know so well, and that is Ezekiel 37. Don't put it on now. It's Ezekiel 37, and that's where Ezekiel had the vision of the dry bones. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say tonight. I'm not going to touch on the theological meaning of these scriptures. We all know what it means, that it was Israel being scattered, being ruined, being destroyed, and that God is going to bring them back together and redeem them. But rather, I want to touch on the spiritual significance, the revelation that is embedded, that's locked up in these scriptures. Amen? Is that okay? This morning, I truly want to remind you. I want to remind you of the promises of God that is upon your life, and how you can use these prophecies, how you can use these words, these promises that have been spoken out of your life to wage a good warfare, to overcome, to receive your breakthrough. Now, I know many might think, but I have not received a prophecy. So how do I wage a good warfare? I've just said that there's more than 7,000 promises in the Word of God alone, and that every person sitting here under the sound of my voice, each and every one of you, you qualify for each and every one of those promises. You qualify for each and every one of those promises. Do you know the Word? Do you know the Word? 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. Timothy received quite a few prophecies. Young man, anointed man of God. But he was facing a lot of persecution. Very real to what you and I are facing today. He was facing attacks from every angle, both within and from without. Okay? And he received a lot of attacks from every angle. And so he obviously communicated with Paul. And Paul said, listen, Timothy, this command I give you. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. And it says that, and this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may work, you may wage, thank you, a good warfare. You may wage a good warfare. Now Paul would always say that I will bring you into remembrance. Tonight I'm going to remind you of a prophetic principle that you will once again apply to your life. I say will because I know that you want what God have got installed for you. Because I know that you know that it's not over. Because I know that you know that God has got something great installed for you. Because I know that you know that God is not done with you. Because I know that you know that God have anointed you. Because I know that you know that God have called you. God have called you. What an honor, what a privilege to be called by the God of this universe for a reason and a purpose, and that He ordained you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. What an honor and a privilege. My time is running out. I'm not going to get done. Now you will notice that He gave him a command. He said that according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, and that by them you may wage a good warfare. It's a command that He gave him. The word says that we will fight the good fight of faith. Let me tell you tonight that you can fight a bad fight or you can fight a good fight, but a fight you're going to fight. Now, I've spoken to many people and they will come back to me and they will say, you know, you've given me this word. I'm not exposing anyone, just using an example. But this really happened. And they will say, you know, you've given me this word, but yes. And the moment you gave it, there was a stirring in my spirit and everything just went well for a while. And all of a sudden, just all hell broke loose. And I'm like, welcome to my world. Everyone desires that prophecy. Everyone desires that call. But now, let me tell you, the moment that word goes out, just as God has got a plan for your life, so the enemy has got a plan for your life. And he's not going to stand back and look at you accomplishing the exact thing that God has ordained you to be. There's going to be backlash. But God's. Amen. A fight you will fight. I choose to fight a good fight of faith. And I believe every person here will make that same choice. And you might ask me, so how do I fight the good fight of faith? How do I fight? By taking every promise written in the Word of God. Every promise spoken out. Listen to me. A prophecy can come in many ways. Doesn't mean a physical person have to, a prophet have to give you a word. You can read the Word of God and God can start speaking to you. That is prophecy. Do you receive it or not? Do you believe it or not? Many times you will read the Word of God and something will come up in you, but you don't believe it. You don't see it as a prophecy, as God speaking to you, releasing something into your spirit. Amen? So it can come at many, many ways. By taking those promises, by taking the Word of God that have been released, spoken out of your life, and by giving a voice to it, proclaiming it, declaring it, releasing it into the atmosphere. And by doing that, you're releasing the sword of the Spirit. And that is the Word of God. The Rhema Word of God. The very spoken Word of God. Listen to me. It is when you give voice to the Word of God that you activate legions of angels in heaven to come down and stand up on your behalf. It says in Psalms 103 verse 20. It says in Psalms 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. It is when you give voice to His word, when you take the promises that you've been received, when you take the prophecies, and you proclaim it, and you declare it, that you give voice to the Word of God. So releasing, activating the angels in heaven to come down and stand up on your behalf. Do you realize what power there is in your words, in your mouth, when you speak by faith? Do you realize? It is time that the body of Christ, it is time that the body of Christ start to declare and decree the Word of God again. Every person sitting here, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And it's time that we as sons and daughters of the Most High God stand up and prophesy unto the air. Meaning to speak the Word of God. Every person sitting here under the sound of my voice, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Meaning that you have the ability and the power to prophesy again. And I'm going to prove it. I'm not speaking about the gift of prophecy or the office of the prophecy. There's three dimensions to prophecy. There's the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the office of a prophet. Okay? I'm not going to get into that now. I'm speaking about the spirit of prophecy. Revelations 19 verse 10. And I'm quoting the scripture, it only in parts. Revelations 19 verse 10. You can write this down. This is one of the scriptures that you want to know off by heart. Revelations 19 verse 10. Worship God. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Listen to me. You cannot give a testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ cannot come forth from without you, without the spirit of prophecy. Each and every person stood with me just previously and testified of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord and God, that you are the Holy Son of the true living God, that you did indeed come into this world in the likeness of a sinful flesh to be a sin offering for the sin of this world, and that you died on a cross, and that when you breathed out your last breath and said that it is finished, that everything has been done and said, and that you breathed that breath of life into every one of us. I believe that on the third day you were raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the glory of the Father, and have so been exalted, raised back into heaven, now seated at the right hand of the Father. Testify of Jesus. Can you speak these words? Then you have the spirit of prophecy. Then you have the spirit of prophecy. Again, I'm not speaking about the office of a prophet or the gift of prophecy. I'm speaking about the spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God. The word Ruach, when studied in the Hebrew, in its very first expression, is an ecstatic state of prophecy. Timothy received many prophecies. He received many prophecies. But he was facing a lot of attacks from every side, from every angle. How many of us have received word from God? But you're facing this turmoil in your mind. It's all these suggestions flooding your mind. And you become despondent towards the word of God, to what God has said. You find yourself in a place where you feel that it's over. Amen? Many find themselves in this place. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. And Paul said, Timothy, I give you this charge because by this you will overcome. So you wage a good warfare by taking the words that have been spoken out of your life and by vocalizing it, by giving a voice to it. Amen? It is that easy. It is that easy. You just need to do it by faith. You just need to do it by faith. Ezekiel 37, I'm almost done. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, meaning there was bones all around him. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Just stop there. And lo, they were very dry. So here we can see that the prophet was taken into the spirit where you could see the circumstances. The prophet was taken into the spirit where you could see the circumstances. How many times have I not said, listen to me, while John was writing the book of Revelations, while he was writing it, he was taken into the spirit and heard behind him a loud voice, meaning there's a doorway to the spiritual realm. How many times have I not said, read the word, get in your prayer closet, close the door and read the word. It will give you spiritual perception. We can see clearly that the prophet was taken out in the spirit where he gained perception. He could see the circumstances. And the circumstances didn't look good. The circumstances is not good. For many sitting here tonight, it's not healthy. It's not conducive to the word of God, to the plans of God, to the will of God. It is not conducive because it's contrary to what God has said. Amen? Stay with me. I'm getting to a point now. You see, oftentimes, God show true prophets, and again, I state the privilege that it is serving in this house under a true prophet, because many times God will show true prophets the problem so that they can become a contradiction to the satanic suggestions and plans and circumstances that we are facing. The problem is too many believers allow their circumstances to become the reality. Listen to me, circumstances comes to us all. It comes to us all. We tend to think that I'm the only one dealing with this. I'm the only one going through this. I guarantee you that somewhere else on this planet, someone is dealing with exactly the same thing that you are dealing with, or have went through the same thing that you have went through. Circumstances comes to us all. But there is something that is far more powerful and far greater than our circumstances. And that is that the circumstances are subject to change when the power of God's truth is applied to the circumstance. Amen? It is the Holy Word of God. It is the Holy Word, the truth of God, that have destroyed every work of Satan on the cross of Calvary. It is His Word. Come on, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Meaning, and the Word was made manifest in flesh. It is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I heard the voice walking in the cool of the day in the garden. Again, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is His Word that have destroyed every work of Satan on the cross of Calvary. Every person standing here under the sound of my voice, I'm telling you that you are saturated, infused, and filled with the truth and the Word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Meaning that God have called you even before the foundations of this world have been laid. Meaning that you have defeated Satan even before you were born. Even before you were born, you've already defeated Satan. You must just be able to pull it from the spiritual dimension, that which have already taken place, and drag it into this now. Are you with me? And so he caused me to pass by them. Behold, there was very many in this open valley, and they were very dry, just like Hagar. Just like Hagar, I found herself in a dry place where everything have run out. There's many believers sitting here tonight where they find themselves in a place where everything have run out. But I want to tell you tonight that I have got some bad news for Satan. Oh, I've got some bad news for Satan. And I've got some good news for you. I have got some very good news for you. And that is that the kingdom of light is still alive and well and at work here on earth through you and I. And that as long as that light persists to shine within you, that darkness will never prevail and will never overcome. Even if you just have a little bit of hope, a little bit of hope, you have a little bit of light. It is more than enough to destroy every form of darkness, to destroy the work of Satan. He shall not prevail. You're standing on this ground tonight and you feel that you've reached that place where it is over. I felt that I've lost the call of God. I'm telling you tonight that you are at the right place at the right time, and that it's by divine appointment that you are standing here tonight. I do not believe in chance. It is time that you stand up and tell the devil that you made the wrong choice and you chose the wrong target. For I will walk in my destiny. I have accepted the call of God in my life, and I will execute this call with perfection, with excellence, and with distinction. Amen. I remind you tonight, may I bring you into remembrance of the call of God that is on your life. May I remind you tonight of the power that you carry when you speak His word with faith, when you proclaim and declare His word with faith. Verse 3. Stay with me. And He said unto me. No, don't stay with me, just stay with me. But thank you. And He said unto me. Response. You guys are well taught. And He said unto me. Son of man, can these bones live? You see, God asked Ezekiel a very important question that He's asking each and every one of you tonight. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. You see, Ezekiel knew that he did not have it within him. Through his own ability, through his own might or strength, he does not have the answers and he cannot change the situation. But he knew that he's standing in covenant with the one that have the answers and that has got the ability to bring forth change and to change the circumstance. And to change the circumstance. Wisdom is very important. Wisdom is more important than spiritual weapons. Wisdom is more important than spiritual weapons. You know, when you've received a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, I've misunderstood this completely. Doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have now the wisdom to deal with the situation or that all of a sudden now you have the knowledge to deal with the circumstance. A word of wisdom means that you've merely just received the word of wisdom from the source. A word of knowledge. You can replace that word wisdom and knowledge with God. You just received the word. But it's the source that gives you the wisdom to overcome. Ezekiel understood this principle. He knew that through his own power, I cannot do anything. But oh, that I stand in covenant with the one that have the power and the might to change every circumstance, to turn around every circumstance. Go to verse 4. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Go on for me. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Go on. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Go on. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now note, that while God was speaking, nothing happened. While God was speaking, nothing happened. The word was established, but nothing happened. Until someone decided that I'm going to take the word and I'm going to speak it. I'm going to give voice to it. Then something started to happen. Amen? And behold, there's shaking and bones came together. Let me tell you, when you start proclaiming the word of God, there is something that takes place in the spiritual dimension that you do not always feel or experience here in the natural. Many times we pray and we speak the word of God, but it feels empty. It feels like it's just falling flat to the ground. It feels like it carries no power. But let me tell you, do not be mistaken. For when you do this, there's something that happens in the spiritual dimension. There's a shaking taking place. A confusion of fear coming upon the enemy. He hates it. It is like 1,000 trumpets being sounded off when you proclaim the word of God. If only we could see. If only we could see It is equivalent to an earthquake when we speak the word of God, echoing through eternity. Take a hold of what was written in the volume books of life and proclaim it. Speak it with His power, with His might, with His truth. It will send every demon in hell running with fear. Amen. It's time that we know His word. Go on, verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So he prophesied. So there's a few steps to this. First, God, I've spoken, nothing happens. Man takes the word, he speaks, something happens. So the word is now established, but still there's no life. Now you will notice that God did not tell him to speak to the dry bones, or speak onto the air, or speak onto the breath. He said prophesied. Why did he use the word prophesied? Because when I speak or I say, I'm using my own words. But when I prophesy, I'm speaking the word of God. Amen. And he said, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain, that they may live. This breath is the Holy Spirit. He was prophesying unto the Holy Spirit. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Prophesy unto the breath. Meaning that there is a steps to this. Once you have proclaimed the word, you cannot stop there. You have to take it one step further. Meaning you have to keep on proclaiming the word of God. Every time that you get into your prayer closet, you need to close the door and proclaim the word of God. Remind God, Lord, I remind you of your call. Lord, I remind you of your promises. Lord, I remind you of every word you have spoken out over my life. I remind you. Every day, you take this word and you remind God and you speak it. You vocalize it. God is bringing forth a principle of doing it continuously. Amen. And go on for me. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So it is when you take the word of God, every promise, even written in His word, every prophecy, and that you give voice to it, that you proclaim and declare it, that word is being made manifest, that promise is being made manifest. It is when you declare it by faith that you pull it from the spiritual dimension into the physical here and now. And let me tell you that His word will not return to Him void. Amen. It's written in Isaiah 55 verse 11. It's written in 55 verse 11. That His word will not return unto Him null and void. Put that on the board for me. Isaiah 55 verse 11. ISA. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Let me tell you tonight, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and He saw the light, that it was good. And God said, let there be Alan. And God said, let there be Goth. God said, let there be Chris. Let there be Misha. God said, let there be each and every one of you sitting in this place, and He saw that it was good, and He blessed you. And He blessed you. Every person standing here, sitting here right now, you are a very manifestation of the spoken word of God. And that no word from God will ever fail. It is written in Luke 1 verse 37, that no word from God will ever fail. I'm telling you tonight that you cannot fail. You are at one with the word, at one with our Savior Jesus Christ, is seated in heavenly dimensions where our enemy have been made our footstool. When God calls you, and I'm going to close off with this. When God calls you, there's certain things that He gives you. And we call it the five P's. Okay? The first one is prophecy. When God calls you, you will normally receive a prophecy. And remember that I said that it's not always through a person, but it can be in your inner room while reading the word or listening to a message. Amen? Prophecy. The second one is place. He will give you a place to minister, to serve. When God calls you, He will give you a place to serve. It is not by chance that you're sitting here tonight. He will give you a place to serve. When you serve, it activates the gift that is within you. Amen. The third thing is, He will give you people to minister to and to minister with. So God will give you people to minister with and for. Prophecy, place, people. Provision. He will give you provision. He will make it possible for you to walk in what He has called you to be. And the last one is power. You cannot do anything without power. Amen.